There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Welcome back, listeners, to your one and only source into all things Gossip Girl. You know you'll love it. XOXO.
Oh, man. Hello.
Hello.
You were just telling me that it's 60 degrees in New York right now.
Yeah, it's literally been like, yesterday was high 68. Today it's right like 62 right now. And it's just not right. You know, it's like we're over here wearing our fall jackets and just sweating our faces off. So it's beautiful.
It's weird. It's super weird.
Yeah.
Because I feel like anytime around November.
Yeah.
You're like almost getting your winter jackets out.
Yeah. Like I already had my scarf out.
It's like, yeah. And I feel like anyone that lives in New York or is from there and it's 68, they're like right. In t-shirts.
Oh, yeah.
65 in LA and people have full blown like snow outfits on.
Oh, I love it. And I love my favorite thing about LA is when it rains and everybody just like gets just frozen. cars can't drive. Yeah. And
no one knows how to drive.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're not even from here. You're literally from a place where it rained all the time. Like no one is from LA, but no one can drive in the rain.
Yeah, just like wipes out people's sensibilities.
100%. It's 55 here. And so you go outside in Scottsdale and it's so cold out because you're so used to this heat here. And now I'm like going back, like now I have my sweater on. I'm sweating. Anyways, it's still beautiful, but I'm like, let's just figure out the temperature somewhere.
I know. It's just a weird, something's going awry. Well, we know it is, but we just have to live
something,
in it now, I guess.
Yeah. Something is for sure. We just have to deal.
Yeah, it's very freaky.
It is kind of freaky. This is true. Okay. So we are in season 3 now.
Season 3, episode
officially.
2. Yes.
Episode 2. The Freshman, which is this movie with Matthew Broderick? Is that what the title is based on?
I think it is that one, right? And then it's like, here it makes perfect sense too, because we have a group full of freshmen. And it's funny because like it's like, we're anticipating this move to college and then we get it here finally. So it's like, I remember this episode. I remember like actually have some memories of filming this one. So it's good.
Yes. Things definitely pop back in my head and my mind, in my heart. There was definitely moments where I'm like, oh my God, I remember that roof deck.
Yeah.
there was definitely moments where I'm like, I don't remember the bookstore in Georgina.
Right.
But all the shots in between of like New York City and the streets going up with all the cabs.
Right.
I'm like, ooh, I really like how this director did that. And I sometimes have to go back and be like, oh, okay, wait, this is whose episode again?
Right.
And it was Norman's. So I'm like, I clearly love the way he shoots things, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. His style and his visual sensibility.
His style is dope. Yeah. I love it. I also think Good Girls Go Bad by Cobra Starship featuring Leighton was awesome. And I forgot that it was in this episode.
Oh, it's so crazy that we got, like, I remember when her music was popular and we were filming, when it was, I was hearing it everywhere, you know, I was hearing it in taxis and
everywhere.
Stores. And it was, I always got such a kick out of it because it's like so hard when you know her and how like mellow she is to like connect her with like pop star, rock star person, you know, but it was
totally.
But it's so funny that we had that song was featured here. It's so cool.
Yeah. Also, when we get to that part in the episode, I'll tell you my thoughts on it because it's, I think the irony of all of that was quite interesting to me. But there was like a fan question that wanted to know about Leighton doing music while shooting the show, how she was like juggling it all. I mean, that's a question for Leighton, so I don't want to like put words into anyone's mouth or speak for someone. I would say I don't really know, but she obviously handled it and juggled it well because she was shooting a show and had hit songs come out. And we didn't really know that anything was stressful or too much or anything at all because she showed up to work as professional and fun and cool as Leighton always was. And then you would like go anywhere in the city or anywhere all over the world and her song was playing. So the fact that all of that was going on and we, you know, she never complained or anything like that. I would say I would have to imagine that she was enjoying it and it went well.
Yeah, she definitely did.
And not saying it was easy, because that's a lot.
Right. She definitely juggled it well. But also, I mean, the one thing I know, and I mean, not to speak for Leighton, but I remember it's always so interesting because she has such a like a musical heart that's like a passion of hers that I wouldn't say it supersedes being an actor, but it's definitely up there. So I know that whether she was producing albums or doing shows or not, she was probably always making music. So I think it's like that was her outlet, you know? So it's interesting when somebody wears all the hats.
And she's so good at it.
Right.
And there was times, like, I remember she went on a tour and I'd went to a couple of her shows where she was just, like, singing and playing guitar. And
so cool.
Yeah. And such a different side or vibe that I think most people, especially listening to this and watching the show, you get from her because it's so different from Blair. And I always really enjoyed that. So I don't know if we're answering your question. I'm very sorry. I would guess that she handled it great because we never really heard a complaint or knew.
Speaks to what a great actor she is too. Like Blair, imagine, it's incomprehensible to imagine Blair Waldorf playing a guitar. And yet that's Leighton.
Exactly.
So it's like she really has a lot of range. You know what I mean? Because she's able to personify this human being who is so not that. And in fact, in this episode, there are some moments where Blair is kind of confronted with like pop music and she's like, turn off that noise. I mean, it's like in her world, it's a very different vibe. So I feel like that's interesting to imagine that, you know, some of that music was actually made by Leighton, which is kind of great.
Right. Well, that's what I was going to say when the song is like a part of the rooftop party.
Oh,
that was my, what
I didn't
I was
even realize
say.
That she said that with that song.
Well, the irony to me was when the roof deck party is happening and all the stuff with Georgina is that when Blair is looking so alone and now this is the first time she's feeling like an outsider in this world. And then this song hits and there's like such a vibe and it's on this roof deck in the city. And then the song comes and it's Leighton's song. So all of it is
so
awesome,
multi-leveled. Yeah. So meta.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So meta. This was another question. When we started season 3, like we're all kind of dialed in now. Like we know all the crew members. It's, you know, we know
we're a lot of
the same locations.
Mm-hmm.
The
show was very popular by that point. So it's like everything was established. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you feel like it was a different feeling going in? That was someone's question. How was it going into season 3? I was always learning as the show went on, like about everything because the show kept getting bigger. So that changed the way we lived our lives. But I feel like as the show went on, I was always excited to get back to see everyone and to be back in the city because a lot of the times I would leave. but that's I can only speak for myself. I don't know.
Right. Well, I was always still here, but I remember that, like, yeah, by the time it was season three, I think I told you earlier, I had that sensation always that, you know, I would never be in another episode, and I was always nervous. I know.
You know, that's so crazy, girl.
I know. So it's like, I think by season three, I started feeling a little bit more like, okay, this, I'm on the show. So I think that a lot of my best Dorota storylines come up in season three. So I think I maybe started feeling a little more comfortable and just kind of happier to go to work because it didn't seem so fleeting. Like, I was able to trust it a little bit. So I know for me, you know, it's not that you relax, but you just enjoy maybe a little bit more. And it's just like a little.
Yes. There's a little bit more of like a, I don't want to say comfort, but maybe. Right. I feel like I know what you mean.
Well, you know, I think it's fun because, like, when you're working on a TV show, especially one with so many episodes, and then you kind of get in the groove, you also get that kind of work routine. Like, the fact that it's actually a job that you go to.
Yeah.
And you have, you know how long the van ride takes, and you know what the day looks like.
Right.
And you know, so it's like it kind of becomes a part of your life in a different way. Because I feel like as actors, we always have such unstable, you know, like irregular schedules. And so it's nice to get the vibe to be like, well, this is where I work and I go to work. So
yeah,
I think by season three, we got that. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we were in it to win it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so here is where we left off. Despite Rufus's best efforts, Serena continues her plan to use the paparazzi against her father. Meanwhile, Carter isn't taking Serena's rejection well, and he continues pursuing her despite a restraining order. This isn't the only stormy relationship. However, as Vanessa butts heads with Dan while Chuck and Blair do their best to keep their relationship interesting.
Right.
That is where we left off, ladies and gentlemen.
And there was a lot of groundwork was laid in that first episode of the season. So here we are in episode two, and Blair, who is determined to maintain her queen bee status in college, of course, embarks on her first day at NYU along with Dan and Vanessa. Georgina turns up and plots to make Blair a social outcast. As Serena prepares to depart for Brown, she and Chuck have a major falling out, so she recruits one of his old enemies to help her get even. Meanwhile, Nate and Bree decide to explore their relationship further, knowing full well it could cause tension between their families, who are political rivals. So we got a little bit something with everybody, as usual.
A little bit of something with everyone.
You're right.
Okay, so well, funny. First of all, it opens up with you and Blair. That's, we got the pearls going on, the red dress, very structured.
Oh, yes.
I feel like the look, even it's obviously very Blair, but I feel like the look is like, oh, okay, she's like trying to grow up a little bit, you know? Like,
right. And she's, well, you know, it's interesting because I don't know if you had this feeling in your life too, but you know, that feeling when you're entering a new phase of life and you kind of can redefine yourself or be like, who am I going to be in this iteration? And you always, it's always that extra effort at the top to say like,
what did you learn you to change forward? Or want to be better at? Yeah.
So I feel like with her, she's definitely attempting a certain maturity, a certain like non-high school vibe, even though she still, you know, still that she can't get away from it. And I mean, we have that fantastic moment later in the episode where Dan says no headbands in college and he like rips her headband off. But she's trying, I think, to be a more grown up version of herself, which is funny because like all these characters are already so kind of grown up in a way in terms of their style. But
yeah.
It's sweet to watch her get ready. And you know, I remember a little bit of these dorm room scenes from filming. I mean, I remember filming that stuff and the NYU stuff. And I really liked the scene where Dorota's sort of helping Blair get dressed and ready. And it was so funny to me because like my face, like as Dorota, like I was so like in love with Blair. It was insane. Like I'm like looking at her, like she's my long lost puppy, and like aww, like that. It was like it made me laugh out loud because I was like, wow, Dorota's like really proud of Miss Blair for this starting NYU. And so I really liked the start of this episode. I thought it was really kind of a lovely look into Blair's psyche.
When you two are together, it just feels good because you know that you have, that Dorota has Blair's best interest and really sees the best in her, which is great because not everyone does with Blair, as you see in this episode, you know? And even when you try to, she still sometimes gets in her own way. And then I just felt like the whole conversation with her and Chuck, he goes, fluorescent lights, communal showers, public school girls. Like, that's what the dorms are going to be like. And she's like, listen, I just need to live there to be queen. Like, this bitch is still just trying to be queen bee. I'm like, I know, Claire, so get over it.
Yeah, it's so amazing.
But it's all such a part of Gossip Girl that we need to have that, or like, what are we doing? Right?
Right. And I think it's an interesting question, actually, because like, do people who are super popular and they kind of rule the roost in high school, it's got to be a nerve-wracking moment when they transition into a college world, because that's how you identify yourself. And then all of a sudden you have a new, bigger pond. So it kind of is relatable, I think, to a lot of people.
Or people that don't really care what you were in high school.
Right. And people really who have like, a different sense of what's cool.
Aren't going to be bossed around. Yeah. Right.
When I went to college, because I went to high school in Indiana in a public high school, and then I went to Barnard College here in the city, Columbia, and all of the girls I went to school with, they were from the East Coast. They had gone to private school, and I remember feeling really out of my element, because not even in a cool girl queen bee way, but in terms of, I felt really, really vulnerable in the beginning. I remember that feeling. So I think that, you know, that growing pains of transitioning in life, they're certainly relatable in this Blair storyline in this episode, you know?
For sure. And that goes, again, not to be redundant, but like what Norman said, it's just about the emotions, like what she's going through, whether it's this whole Queen Bee, Blair, Upper East Side to Lower Manhattan.
Right. To those down and dirty dorms.
Going through, I think a lot of people do what on either end. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. Meeting new people, not having your Serena there, not having your Chuck there with you, not having your Dorota there with you, even though Dorota is right there handing out these gift bags to make these girls. It's like, okay.
So funny.
There was a lot of funny moments in here, but even like at the NYU when Georgina moves in on Blair, was Dorota in the dorm room when Georgina first comes in?
I can't remember exactly, but I think there was definitely a moment when things start going down and there's like a moment I really enjoyed where Dorota just backs out, just leaves, and like, but she leaves in this like really funny way. It was almost like she was moonwalking her way out, because it was like,
oh my God.
Yeah.
Georgina all of a sudden appears and she's like, hi, roomie, or hi, roommate. And like,
oh, it's fantastic.
That is just way too much. And then Vanessa is there. So now all of a sudden you have three people that don't really see eye to eye, don't really get along, that are all going to be living within, not on the same floor together.
Right.
That is like Blair's worst nightmare. And to be honest, Vanessa's too.
Yeah. No kidding. Yeah. And it's like Vanessa is finally in a place where like she's kind of the cool queen bee type vibe.
She feels very comfortable. This is her.
She's at home. Yes. Right. But then you're all of a sudden she's facing off with her biggest nightmares.
Yeah. These two. And then of course, Blair's like, I need a party. We need a party. So here goes Dorota planning a party.
That was a funny thing, because Dorota hails a taxi cab, which I know for a fact I must have been excited about, because I loved shooting on the street, because I didn't get to do it as much as everybody else, you know, because I was always inside.
Right.
You know? And so I'm sure I enjoyed that. And I'm sure it was fun getting in the cab and everything. But I have no memory of that. And I was like, you know, when you watch yourself and you don't have any memory, it almost feels like out of body.
Yeah, it's happening quite often lately. That's definitely me. That was not a stunt double or a stand-in. Right. It was me. Yeah, it's very crazy.
Do you remember, apparently we did cross paths, I guess, in that dorm room interchange.
Yeah, but
I don't remember that. Or I mean, I know we were in the NYU world, we were circling around the same
Yeah, but situation. I don't think I saw you. We definitely didn't speak or like have coverage together clearly.
Yeah, I don't think so. But that's probably as close as we got.
Yeah. And I don't really remember. The dorm rooms were on stage, correct? We weren't at NYU. Those were on Silver Cup, right?
Yeah, they built those. I remember they built them because they had...
because it was most of the season. Because I do remember, because I went in and there was like a couple like things where I'm like, oh, this is so cute. I kind of want to like take this for my own place. And so it was definitely decorated from,
Well, that's another thing that was cool in this episode, was like the decorating of the rooms. Like the fact that Blair commissioned, you know, Dorota to basically like recreate her home space in the dorm. There was, you know, we've talked before about taking things from the set. And I always remember that the one thing that Leighton got was that there was like a little tiny china plate with a B on it. That plate was just on the wall of Blair's room. And then I happened to notice in this episode that it made it to the dorm room too. So it was like this little B, little initial B, like a decorative plate. And it's like those little things that I remember Aww. That just totally take me back. And she had the Marie Antoinette kind of painting in a room that also made it over.
Yep, so I remember that.
But then I love that the fact that Georgina crashes in on her and brings this, like, not to be a judgmental, but this kind of ugly tapestry that she wants to hang on the wall.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like part of terrorizing Blair. But I was going to ask you, did you find, like, when you were watching this episode unfold, did you kind of immediately see where Georgina was going with this plan? Did you see that she was there to sort of dethrone Blair or to keep her from social ascension?
You know, I didn't. To me, when Chuck went to see Georgina at the end of season two and she finds out that Blair was there, yeah. her reaction of like, oh, Blair, and then like she changed everything, left the, you know, Christian camp.
Right.
So she's had some like thing this whole time, obviously.
Right.
But I just don't know where she's going. Like, does she really yeah. like Dan? Does she not? Why do you want to bring Blair
down? Yeah, because I didn't know either.
So yeah. much. Like, you were away anyway.
Right.
You're coming back to ask for trouble or give trouble. So why are you doing that? Just stay away then. You know what I mean? So,
right.
especially because Georgina, she pulls shit out of thin air. I'm like, right. you're this one day. I mean, even in this episode, the next part of this episode almost, Vanessa and Dan are at this bookstore and Georgina sees them.
Right.
Did she run into them? No. You knew where they were. I mean, are you following them? I don't know with Georgina.
Right.
There's just, she's yeah. so sneaky, but then.
But then she also plays her heartstrings a little bit. Like in this, in that
she
scene
sure
with,
does.
With Dan and Vanessa, I was like, wait a minute. She actually, it kind of made me feel sad for her when they were like unable to fully go there with her. When she's like, would you like to have a coffee? It's like, you don't know because, you know, I'd bet money that she was manipulating them. But then there are these little slivers of like, oh, maybe she does feel lonely now. And now she wants forgiveness. And they
and maybe she is starting over or wants to start yeah. new, start fresh.
Yeah, it's yeah. convincing. It was interesting.
And Vanessa even says that to Dan. Like, she wants to start new and fresh. And we want a fresh start. Why can't
right.
we? And I'm like, see, that's Vanessa being real sweet again.
Oh, Vanessa.
Giving people a chance again.
Yes.
So, yeah. So then again, like then this is a scene that comes up after she like walks into Blair's, you know, she goes into Blair's, then she's trying to see if she can have coffee with Dan and Vanessa. And right. at this point, I'm like, I don't know what this bitch is trying to do, but like,
right.
I'm not mad at her right now, but I don't right. like know what she's pulling.
Yeah. But you know, you will be. Right.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Well, it's interesting because it's like we have like basically Blair desperate to make her mark at NYU, all of a sudden faced with her biggest nightmare, Georgina, as a roommate. We don't know exactly what Georgina has planned. And we see kind of Dan and Vanessa already thriving in the NYU scene. We see the sort of beginning of this new chapter. And then it's like on the other side of town, you have Serena in this kind of complicated situation with Chuck, where basically like she never got in the car or whatever. She never went off to school. She decided to bail on Brown. Yeah. And she ends up staying with Chuck. So, you know, there's this kind of total opposite thing happening over there, which is like Serena's in trouble, or is she, or what's she doing?
Yeah. And I would have never imagined that when she was not going to go through with going to Brown, that she's going to Chuck.
Right.
So that was like, whoa, this is nuts that Serena wants to go to Chuck for like,
yeah,
support kind of,
yeah,
in a way.
For shelter, basically.
Shelter. Yeah.
And then it seems like it's going to be okay for a minute. And then we realize that Chuck has a business plan in the works.
He's got a business meeting going on. Yeah.
Yeah. This like high intensity where he has these plans. I love like, this is not even just a gossip girl, but I love like television in general where, he's like, oh, I have this plan for this restaurant space. And then, and of course, the plans are just all laid out right in front of them. And then they look at the pictures.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love that part.
Looks perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he wants to do a speakeasy.
Right. So it's going to be like a respectable place up top, but then like a really down and dirty speakeasy downstairs, right? With like debauchery, right? Is that the idea?
I guess. And he basically he's like telling Serena this. She's actually genuinely like, whoa, this is a great idea, Chuck.
Yeah.
Then she accidentally messes up the deal.
Is it an accident the first time that she does?
I think that the first time was definitely not intentional.
Right. And then, but throughout the course of the episode, she starts to sabotage him purposefully. Right? That's what I was like, what was her intention there? So it's like, she basically like accidentally slips up in front of the investor and says that like, Chuck is planning a speakeasy. And that's like, not in his business plan that he's pitching. So he's like already, she's already kind of messing things up for him. But then all of a sudden, but then it gets worse and worse and out of hand. And she starts kind of purposefully tanking this for him.
Yeah. She gets like dirty. She gets like almost like grudge bearing at the point.
Yeah.
Like the scene with her and Carter and Chuck, I'm like, whoa, like even the look in Serena's eye and stuff. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, and then he felt bad for Chuck when he gets up. This is later in the episode, but when he gets up and he's like, I genuinely, like, I was concerned for you not going to school. That's why I went to Rufus. Like, he wasn't trying to be manipulative there.
Oh, is that why? I guess that's why she gets mad at him. I see.
Yes. And and Serena's nervous, I think, because she doesn't want Lily to know she's not going. She doesn't want to upset her mom.
Right.
Which I think a lot of kids, teenagers, young adults, you know, that are in these kids' shoes, like leaving one chapter, leaving high school and going to their next chapter, going to college. I think a lot of times people are very concerned that they're making their parents proud and making sure they're making the right choice and the next step. But
the expectations,
you know, I don't know. I feel like that's got to be a very tough thing for someone that's also not really quite sure what you want to do with the rest of your life.
Right. Especially if she had such a crazy summer and she's been disappointed by her dad. She couldn't, you know, get her dad to pay attention to her when she was seeking him out overseas. You know, she's growing up, but she doesn't know which direction to turn, and she doesn't have any kind of solid moorings, you know, because Kelly Rutherford is still on maternity leave in this episode. And so Lily's character is away still. So Rufus is the paternal figure, you know, that she has to turn to. So it's like, in a way, she's a little bit unchecked and untethered. And now she's staying with Chuck and she doesn't know what she's doing next. And I think Blair, at least on the surface, does. Everyone else kind of has their path. So she's, you know, feeling a little bit directionless, maybe.
Yeah.
So then she kind of gets a little like snippy or nasty, you know, with Chuck. And it's, I mean, it makes sense because I feel like people get reactive, you know, when they're
not
feeling
sure
that way. Yeah.
Not feeling supported. Yeah. Well, and she's in a situation where she's like trying, she's crying out for attention for her father. Then this other father figure that cares about her so much, who's a wonderful dad to his kids, Rufus, is trying to protect her without letting anyone really know or throwing Serena under the bus. And then her mom, we have Lily, who's kind of having to play the mom and dad for her since her dad was absent all these years. So, and I think sometimes even if it's not consciously, maybe it's subconsciously that she feels this disconnect with her dad. And then he, you know, didn't want her. And even Carter, he throws some low blows like with that, like, you know, like, are you crying out because your daddy didn't want you? Like, I'm like, whoa, that's like,
oh yeah, there's some rough stuff between them in this
that's
episode.
Harsh.
Yeah. And it's like, when Rufus finds out about that she basically lied and didn't go off to school, he's kind of forcing her hand and saying, I'm going to get a car here. You're going to go, or I'm going to tell your mom. And there's a moment where she says, he's like, I this isn't your best interest. And she says, this is how you're going to do it, by threatening me or something like that. And
yeah,
it's like,
she's like, I think you're more scared of my mom than I am. I'm like,
yes, yeah, which I love. Yeah.
Which I don't think she's that wrong. I think
Rufus
is a little terrified of Lily.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what?
Yeah.
I was like thinking when you were just talking about how Lily's still gone, even though obviously this wasn't planned because it was her pregnancy. We didn't know when she was going to have the baby. And ironically, it works out because of the situation that Serena has going on. And then it's kind of forced that she has to talk to Rufus because Lily's not there. And Dan's like, listen, he's the best guy out there, dad out there for dad advice. Or so it almost like ironically worked out, because really, why wouldn't Lily be talking to Serena if she's around? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. It's like she almost needed the lack of the maternal figure here in order to like kind of come to face this instability or insecurity that she has going. So yeah, it makes total sense. And it's nice because we also kind of see Rufus, like it's almost like the most concentrated version of like what he's really facing, which is being with Lily means being a father figure to all these people, you know, even which is just wild. And like, he's got a, you know, it's like they're really adjusting. I mean, I guess it was the last episode where they were kind of adjusting to basically living a different, more lavish lifestyle. And it's like, we're still seeing the sort of continuation of that with him. And now he has to deal with like, how does he put down his foot with Serena? You know, it's interesting to watch him navigating that, certainly.
Totally. And there was something that like stood out to me in this episode with Serena.
Mm-hmm.
She's for some reason just doesn't feel like she's in high school to me. And when I was thinking back about other episodes, Serena just seems, I don't know why. I don't know if it's because she's going off on private jets or dating, you know, there's a ton of people she's dated that are not in high school.
Like
Aaron, the artist, the director of the play, Gabriel, like there's a lot of people that she's dating that are nowhere near their age.
Yes.
She just like, there was certain things. And then I'm like, even at school and stuff, she really only has Blair as much as like she's in with the kids.
Oh, that's true. She doesn't have her little minions.
Dan.
She doesn't have any kind of crew.
She doesn't really.
Mm-hmm.
But there was just like a moment where I'm like, I just like, you just feel older than all these kids.
Right. No, that's true. And it's
I don't
also
know why.
Like,
I mean, I do know why. I just told you.
Yeah, she seems a little older, but she's also kind of lonelier, you know, and it's like what you never think
times.
Of it because she's so because she's such a fabulous, glamorous character. But then, you know, sometimes she's just like a little lamb, you know, and like this is an episode where that happens. Meanwhile, back on the NYU campus, there a similar kind of opposite thing is playing out, which is that Blair, who really has a very clear idea of what she wants and how she wants it to be, is kind of, it's like slipping through her fingers. To me, the storyline is, you know, kind of moving and exciting in terms of like the development of that character, because it's like she does what she knows best, which is to throw kind of like money and fabulousness at things. So she's like, gets Jarota to do the sushi party. And I love all the jokes about like the fancy Toro and the, you know, like,
what did she say to the girl?
She's like, ease up on the Toro. Yeah. And then like later she kept saying,
oh
but there
gosh.
Was Toro. There's and I was like, it makes me want some
sushi
so
badly.
I know. I was like, oh, I want it. Yeah. So it's like she kind of throws all the everything she knows how to do at this situation. And then you have Georgina, who is much better manipulator and kind of in her own right, and is able to get her where she's weak, which is like really kind of listening to people. So like the fact that Georgina sets up this watch party for Vanessa's documentary or, you know, or whatever.
I can't.
Is that what it was? And I mean, like, but you know, it yes, just speaks to the fact that it's like Blair's kryptonite, or like Blair's weakness is that she can't relate to everyone. And she's, you know, she has that kind of wall and that distance. And so Georgina is able to manipulate that by like, you know, role-playing that she's a caring, open, cool person who can be the normal college chick. And then, like,
and meanwhile, she's also like including Blair. She's like, oh, come right. join us, or oh, yes. do this. Like, I'm like, this is.
Yeah. The fact that she yeah. undercuts the sushi party by like everyone sitting around watching Vanessa's, what was the movie about?
I don't remember either. Because then she says they were doing another one about,
right.
It was something about someone in jail who had, was it a carrot for the first time? Or like,
oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Am I thinking yeah. carrot? Because I was a carrot for Halloween. Oh my God. There was something right. where she was like, then he got out of prison and he had this for the first. I was like, what is she talking about? I right. don't remember. Anyways.
That, yeah. But that was, and it's fun to see. And then she's like, and then she's at a total loss. She's like, how can these people think this is cool? And like, how can she be cool in NYU? I mean, who knows, right? It's like, and it's hard to watch her, you know, kind of flail around there. So of course that, you know, immediately sparks in her this passion to like take action and turn the tables.
Right. But there's something in that where it's like, you know, you hope that that Blair, or, you know, that she starts to learn or understand that it's not all about like money and people being enamored with you yeah. because you can throw a sushi party
right.
and like, you wear cool friends. Headbands. Like
right.
life ain't about that anymore.
Yeah.
Like maybe eating a slice of greasy pizza and watching a cool movie by someone who has a big heart.
Right.
Isn't so bad, Blair. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then you have in that puzzle, then you have Georgina, who you're like, you're not quite sure what's up her sleeve. So yeah. But by the way, the party looked great. Dorota?
I know. The party looked fantastic. Dorota nailed it.
Dorota did a good job.
I love Dorota had, what was the restaurant? Masa on speed dial. So that was like,
oh my
God. Yeah. But so then Georgina throws a party.
Oh man.
Like a roof party, kind of.
And when this goes on, the good girl's gone bad. This song is going. You're
right.
seeing New York City. You see like the sunset setting
yes.
kind of. You can tell the light on everyone's faces. Looks beautiful. That was one of those moments right. where I'm like, oh, the DP was loving it. Like,
yes,
everyone
gorgeous.
Had this like glow to them.
You're
it.
Right.
It I was like, ooh, Vanessa's skin looks good.
Also, it is another example of how Norman is such a great director, because it was such subtle things that made that party feel entirely different from any Constance party that they had in high school. Like you just knew you
right.
were downtown, NYU, college, different style, different vibe. It just was shot that way.
Subtle things.
Yeah,
that
subtle
worked.
Stuff. It was so
yeah.
cool. And you were like, and Blair looked like she came from Mars. I mean, she was like a little alien walking
she
around
wasn't
there.
Sure what to do.
Yeah. And it was so well done, because you just saw that she was totally incapable of like being chill and just like being at this party.
Yeah, she was uptight, not mm-hmm. sure what to do, not sure right. where to turn. And then there was so much going on at this party. We got, you know, Georgina there. Then we have the girl, Katie, who goes up to Dan in the beginning of this episode. I think her
right.
character's name was Katie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I remember her. Elena in real life is her real
really?
Name.
That's nice.
In real life.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was just so
IRL.
Great. Those scenes were long days up on that roof deck, because it was just mm-hmm. a lot to get done. But Scott gets nervous for a minute, because she says something about, why did you tell Vanessa about this professor? So we, like,
right.
again, I'm like, oh my God, is this the time where we find out that he's lying about everything?
Yeah. He like gets out of it in kind of a clever way.
Yeah, he did. And Blair, there's just a lot going on. But there was a moment where Dan goes up to Georgina and says something like, I've been in her shoes, kind of like I've been on
right.
the other side where I wasn't invited to parties. I'm not going to do that. And that's what I like about Dan and Vanessa. Like
yes.
it comes up a couple times in this episode where it's like, she's like, you know what? We want to start fresh. And so does Georgina. Let's give her a shot. And here's
right.
Dan sticking up for Blair.
Yeah.
A season ago, you would have never thought that would come out of Dan's mouth. I like that they're both willing and open to do that for people that were both really shitty to them. So for them to like swallow their pride, be open to like being nice and moving forward and starting fresh, I think
right.
that's rad. I think that's like That's maturity. That's dope. I like that.
Yeah, totally. I love that too. Yeah. And it's also like their friendship, what connects them to as friends. It's like you get to see what, you know, why they're friends.
Right. Yeah. But lo and behold, all of a sudden then we're, you know, he's sticking up for Blair, and then Blair invites the Christian camp back.
Oh man. Or
Christian camp that Georgina was at to the roof.
Right.
And says that she's trying to convert the freshmen. She's like, this is a conversion party. I'm like, yes. Blair.
And when they come in singing the songs and it's so funny.
This was the last thing.
Cringe. Yeah.
Was it the last thing you expected?
Yeah. And I didn't see it coming.
I mean, the only thing about that makes sense is Blair planning it.
Right. No, and it shows what strong adversaries they are, because they're like really on the level with each other, because like Georgina was besting her, but then she came out with something surprising and was like, watch this, Georgina, and like smacked her with the cringe, you know, and it's like so...
Smacked her with the cringe.
I was like laughing about it because I mean, it was funny and awful all at the same time. And, you know, and it's also, it's like both of them using the other one's weaknesses to kind of bite them in their own butts.
Yeah.
So it's like the fact that Georgina went off into that world and used it or didn't, or was honest about it, who knows, and then kind of dropped those, you know, her Christian camp high and dry and came back to the city. And it's like now she has to kind of face that consequence, because now here they come back and they're like, we missed you. We love you. Come back.
Right. Aww.
It was such a crazy scene, but funny, and also really got right to the point. And then you see Dan all of a sudden having this fantastic hero moment where he gets to save the day, get on stage.
Well, you know, Vanessa says to him, just because someone has to be on top doesn't mean it has to be Blair. And he's like,
right.
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And he goes
true.
And takes the mic and he gets up there.
Good point.
He basically just calls Blair out. I can't remember exactly what he
basically
said.
Like explains that she went ahead and called out these people from Georgina's past to embarrass her. And you know, would you rather go and party with that person or eat pizza and drink beer with us? And it's like such a great moment. And then poor Blair, but at the same time, she kind of gets her medicine, has to like take her medicine.
Totally.
Yeah, it's
Dan says something up there. He says something like, we all have a past. This is from our past, which there's something in this episode where they keep bringing that up, like start fresh in the past. And I like that, because I really do think when you start a new chapter in your life, whatever that thing is it is a new start. It's something new. It's going to be new people in your life that you're going to meet. There's going to be certain things that you took from your last chapter that, hey, I didn't really like when people made me feel like this, so I'm going to stay away from those types of people. Or I didn't like how I felt when I was like this, so I want to change that about me. So I like that they were dropping little things like that. You know, it's like everyone has a past, and it's true. And to hold that against someone for their past, especially if they're trying to change. Not that I think Georgina's trying to change.
Right.
Because I don't know what's
happening. Yeah, who knows? I don't know where it's going, but right. And your point is so well taken, because like there are other shows that kind of were teen shows or whatever. You know, I'm thinking of like Saved by the Bell or something, you know, back in the day. But, you know, there was always a tendency for any show that was kind of geared at younger people to teach a lesson, you know, per episode. And in this show, there are themes that kind of recur because they're sort of organic to the characters and kind of truthful. And we can get that feeling after watching this that we kind of take something away, but it's never like wrapped up with a tidy bow. So it's like kind of what I think the Gossip Girl writers did well, which was they talked about real issues and it was relatable, but they didn't, you know, lecture us or make a thesis every episode and be like, well, and that's why friendship is important. You know, it's like, it's not, it was never quite resolved, which was fun. I like that.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
One thing I do want to talk about is we got to remember the Bree character coming in.
Right.
They were kind of light in this episode because I do think there's so much that's probably about to go down with them.
Right.
But Bree and Nate decide to go to her family's apartment.
Right.
And she said something. You and me, this apartment, let's get sick of each other.
Oh, that's really cute.
I know. I was like, that's cute. She's like, hand me your pants. I want to go through your wallet. Okay. By the way, that's a gangster move.
Yeah.
Because let's just say, like, I don't know, like,
right.
There could be things that, like, could turn someone off. Like,
oh, totally. But yeah.
I mean, there's like a list of things I could say.
But she's bold. She's bold with him. Right. No, I know what you mean.
She is. And even like, even Nate's reaction was a little bit like, oh, well, it's just like normal stuff. And I'm like, oh God, like,
oh, what's
does he have
there?
A picture of Blair?
I know.
Like, is there a note from like Jenny? Like,
right. Right.
What's going on? Is there still money from the cougar that you had the affair with? Like,
so money from the cougar.
Sudden it's, and then it's his boarding pass of the flight
so
that he met her on, which is so cute, Nate.
And it's funny because she says, are you still wearing the same pants or whatever as you were that day? And I was like, if it was in my life, it would be like, oh yeah, last time I had this. But I was like, oh no, of course. Because yeah. I thought, oh, she caught him. He wore his pants more than once. But no, it was truly a sweet moment. And he saved that boarding pass.
It was cute.
Yeah, it was really cute. Yeah, I like them together.
And how like effortless and cute is she?
Oh, she's
first of all, she's stunning.
Yeah, she's lovely. And she has like, I mean, they have like a good chemistry and, you know, but she's also like, she's playing one of these characters that could be kind of two-dimensional, but she's already like really lovable. And, you know, because, you know,
yeah,
she's like
you're already
the rich kid of this Buckley family or whatever. But in fact, she's totally an interesting fleshed out human being. She's like already one of the characters you want to know more about.
Yeah. And you just even like their chemistry and vibe on it. And that's how it has to be. You have to cast someone who's going to come in, bring their A game, do it, make it feel, you know, right. And but yeah, their whole thing is just like, ooh,
right.
Cuties.
Yeah, they're very cute.
Chase got to work with really beautiful women.
Yeah, Chase got a lot of
like,
a lot of fantastic co-stars.
You go, boy.
Yeah, he
for
did.
Sure. Sexy, hot,
right.
All different ages, like all different looks.
Right. Because Nate is one of the characters that never gets like tied down for a really long, the long run. He goes on a lot of adventures, if you will. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
Like Chuck hooks up with a lot of ladies.
Right.
But they're like, kind of like they come and go other than Blair, really. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there was never really,
like full,
you know,
full on relationships.
Yeah. And they're all beautiful and stunning and hot.
Right.
Don't like get me wrong, but Nate really has like these like,
oh yeah,
little like moments with
full on
a
affairs.
Lot of women.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're all these like meeting people on planes and having affairs in the Hamptons. It's like, okay, Nate, I see you.
Nate's the guy.
Yeah. So that's going on. And she's on a phone call with her mom.
Mm-hmm.
And here's like, again, how they set this up. I'm like, oh God, she's going to say something where Nate's going to hear it and be turned away or turned off.
Right.
And really, they threw me. It was, yeah, but mom, I really like him. Oh, you know, and then her mom hangs up on her and he comes there to comfort her. And there's just something, I'm really liking them right now together. And they're really going after their feelings, because being in their shoes, I could imagine, mm-hmm. would be very difficult. When it's politics and different families and different sides, imagine how it is when it's politics and different sides in your own family when you have nothing to do with politics.
Right, right. And when your family is not
in the
public
eye. And then
it's
your family and it is. I mean, that's like, that's got to be a difficult thing of, you know, how to handle it.
It sort of relates to what you were saying earlier, Serena kind of not wanting to disappoint Lily. And there's another layer here too, which is that, do you want to disappoint your own family because you're into somebody and you want to, like, where do you follow your heart versus where are you a loyal family member and kid? It comes to play in different ways here, because for them, what they're doing has consequences. Yeah.
Totally.
It's like a little Romeo and Juliet situation.
It's true. Yeah.
Like less dramatic ending, but although I don't remember exactly what happened, so we'll find out.
I know, I got to watch that movie again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's happening. And then Rufus and Serena, do they figure it out?
Yeah, they have an apology. She goes to the loft and he finds her there. And so I think it's touching to him that she find it, that it's a safe space for her, or that she feels a part of the family to go to the loft. So I think that's the start of the sort of apology, mutual apology. And it seems like, you know, he wants to sort of help her, you know, figure things out. So it's like she has allies. She has people who want to help her to sort of chart her path, but she has to let them in.
Right. I wonder if what's going to happen is she's going to get close with Rufus, rely on him for, you know, some father figure tips and comfort.
Right.
And then her father's going to come in and probably pull some shit that's probably not great for Serena. Something's going to go down and she's going to choose her dad, who had nothing to do with her.
Yeah, because we're getting a stable father figure. Right. Because since Rufus is being established, that makes sense. It's like setting us up for some kind of complication.
But again, how the irony of Kelly having her baby.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like, sometimes I think when someone's out for pregnancy, you can kind of feel like, oh, they had to shift this or do this or do that, like for a reason. I don't feel like that. Like I forgot, I had to look it up. I'm like, why isn't Lily in this episode? Oh, because she had her baby. But it just feels like organic.
Right. You know what I mean? The storyline is so deeply embracing it. I mean, I don't know how, what their timeline was like when they were writing, you know, how far ahead they were conceiving of plot lines, but certainly having her absence here is allowing for a lot of character development for Serena and Rufus and everyone. So it's like, you're right. It's like really, it feels organic and truthful and not.
It just fits.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It fits.
Totally.
Yeah. But she's supposed to be with Cece, right?
Right. And I kind of like that because like when we last saw them together, they were so troubled and then they kind of had that lovely moment. So then the idea that Cece is sick and Lily kind of gave up everything to be with her is actually sweet too. Like, I feel like that's works too.
Right. And no, it does.
Mm-hmm.
It all works. It's
And then in this episode, we have this idea that Carter is still around and Serena kind of uses him to.
I was just thinking about Carter.
Serena kind of employs Carter to help embarrass Chuck in this with his business partners. And then Carter, I guess, realizes that he's been used and they have a little bit of a blow up. And then they resolve it.
She says something interesting to me.
What does she
say? Yeah, but she's like, you know, you were there with me all summer. You are the only one that knows really what I was going through with the whole situation with her father.
Right.
And she can trust him. I feel like she says trust, which I'm like, the whole thing that you're telling your friends is that he's like this psycho
stalker.
So again, but do you kind of feel like that they're going to still stay together, or he kind of says you have to find someone else, basically?
They have a kiss in that sort of makeup scene where they kind of come clean. So I don't know. I don't know where that's going.
Yeah.
It's like it keeps sort of creeping up.
They're leaving us hanging.
Yeah. And you know, and you don't know with them too. It's also like that conundrum in life where sometimes someone's there in the right time and place and you kind of need that relationship to help you through something. But then would it stand on its own merits? I don't know.
It kind of fills certain voids.
Yeah. So that's kind of a curiosity of that.
Yeah.
But then we have
Blair arrives to Chuck's and hops in bed with him. And you're just like, aw.
Yeah, she like climbs in the little bench. She's like, maybe you were right about the dorms or whatever. was like, poor Blair.
He's like sound asleep.
Yeah.
Wait, how cute was it when she got in bed with him, though?
It was very sweet.
I'm like, Chuck and Blair, you're so cute.
They're so cute. And also it's that, in terms of people waking up in the morning, the best reveal is at the end of the episode, which I just like got such a kick out of. And it's like, I saw it coming a bit.
Well, Vanessa, oh, you did?
A little, once the shot was established, I was like.
Oh, see, I didn't. And I didn't feel like there was any kind of like, I think when Dan got up and kind of stuck up for Georgina when Blair pulled the whole thing on the roof deck party,
right.
I kind of didn't see like, oh, I thought it was kind of like, Vanessa kind of made something trigger in his head.
No,
like,
I didn't see that.
Blair
that
doesn't
point.
Have to be on top. It doesn't.
Right.
I just figured he was like, okay, it doesn't have to be nasty. Like Georgina really was trying here. And then Scott shows up at the bookstore telling Vanessa, here's like a list of, you know, the professors again.
Right, like proving himself.
Now I'm like, wow, he's really going for it. Here's a list of professors with full on detail and grades. And like, I was like, okay, Scott.
Yeah, he's a little scared.
And she's like, should I call Dan to see if he wants to, I don't know what they were going to do.
Right.
Talk about all the epicness, she says. Because I'm like, epicness, Vanessa? That doesn't seem epicness? Like something
oh, that's
you
funny,
would say.
Yeah. Okay.
All the epicness from last night. And he's like, I'm hungover, whatever he's doing. And then it cuts to him and he's.
Right. Well, because the fact that it cuts to him and he's like still on the roof deck in this morning. And he's like.
Yeah.
And then when the way he sits up, I was like, oh, he's got somebody in his lap. I was like, it's got to be Georgina. So that's what I meant when I said I saw it coming, but only right then in that second.
Yeah.
Like, right before they pan down and reveal her.
I still was like, what?
But it was wild. Yeah. And then she's just like laying on his chest and
and then they kiss.
Yeah, they kiss. But it was a very fun kind of Gossip Girl ending to a very Gossip Girl episode. You know, it was like this episode had all the good stuff, you know?
Yeah. I just had a question. So Chuck's deal is like dead. Like it can't happen. Like
I think Serena ruined it, right?
I believe so. I'm kind of irritated about that.
No, me too. And you know, I forgot to mention this when we were talking about that. There was one small thing that reminded me about how this show is now kind of a piece of history because when they're talking about the speakeasy and he's showing Serena the plans, they talk about how the last time there was a market crash was like back in the days of prohibition. Basically, they say that back in the day when there was a market crash, it was, you know, prohibition was a different time and the speakeasy is reminiscent of that era. And then because this was like around 2008, that when this episode was shot, and that's when we had the huge market crash and the whole mortgage bubble and everything burst. And it was like tremendous downfall. All the financial institutions were crumbling. So this like glamour and wealth of the Upper East Side in Gossip Girl, like they had to address that as in the writer's room because it was like so, that was the world we lived in at the time. So it was funny because I forgot about that context. And so seeing that little moment where you remember like, oh, this is the show that happened in its time, as we know with the cell phones and the technology, but also with what was happening in the world. So that was one little funny moment for me.
Yeah. Oh my God, noticed. You're totally right.
Yeah, I didn't. It was a moment by very quickly, but I was like, oh yeah. 2008 was when the world, was exploding.
Absolutely wild.
There was another thing that I liked, and I can't remember where the line was. Somebody said, oh no, it was Georgina, I guess. She said, I got my meds right finally. Was it Georgina? And it was potentially best Vanessa face I've ever seen. Like, it has to be like a GIF out there somewhere because like Vanessa's face.
What did I do?
It was just like the reaction of just like that side eye, like this girl, this world.
Do I believe you? Do I not?
Yeah. It was so good. So that was really
You know where that
too.
Was? That was in the bookstore because it was something she kind of said. Because she kind of keeps walking away and then she comes back, Georgina, and then she's like, I mean, I did this, this, and this, but I don't remember what Vanessa did.
Right.
But you know what else I realized in this episode? Just the total change of style of Carter Bazin. Carter Bazin in the beginning of season two or season one maybe is wearing like huge, really cute looking like sweaters. I remember when Sebastian was on, I think he was like, maybe like a rug looking thing. I'm like, I thought it was cute.
Right.
But now he's in full blown suits looking very dapper, like great. But he is not wearing a rug or.
No, he's not. He's not wearing
a chic,
fluffy sweater. No, that's true. That's really true. Yeah, I thought that it was fun to see where these characters begin this episode and then end this episode. So you have like all the hope, all the hope for poor Blair, and then it's crushed. And then you have all of this, you know, you don't even know Georgina's around. And then by the end, she's cuddling up on Dan. So this episode really takes us a good long distance. And I noticed that Michelle Trachtenberg is going to be featured in the new season of season two of the new Gossip Girl. So I saw some pictures on social media and she looks fantastic and like so conniving. So I was like, I can't wait to see the return, the return of Georgina. So
yeah, I'm excited to see that. Well, that wraps up the freshmen.
The freshmen.
Can you imagine what were the sophomores, juniors, and seniors of Gossip Girl doing if this is what the freshmen were doing?
I know.
Can you imagine?
Can you imagine?
Poppy pops up. Poppy's not in college either, though.
Right. I don't know. Where's Poppy?
Gabriel.
It would be fun to have like one little capsule episode or spinoff episode that just tracked all of the characters who have like sort of disappeared from Gossip Girl, you know, and see what they're up to now and
Totally.
You know, all the
But also, question, when is Nate not starting school?
He referenced it in the beginning, but I can't remember. He said something about his internship that he gave up and that he was doing a business thing instead, I think. Well, we'll find out which direction he
has. We will find out soon enough.
Yes.
I love this Gossip Girl quote. You want to do it?
Sure, I'll do it. Let's see here.
Yeah, I think it's a good one.
Apparently, higher education doesn't make for smarter decisions. So take out your notebooks and sharpen your pencils, kids. Gossip Girl is going to college, and this class has a lot to learn.
Wow, they sure do.
Oh,
I'm very excited to see just all the things.
Yeah.
Well, this was super fun.
This was great. I love the freshmen.
We have season three, episode three next week, The Lost Boy. We have someone fun coming on to do that.
Yes.
And just want to say thank you, listeners, for tuning in. We have so much fun. And
thank you so much.
Until next time, XOXO. XOXO is produced by Propagate Content and me, Jessica Zor. Our show is executive produced by Ling Lee. Our producers are Diego Tapia, Kristen Vermilia, Emily Carr, and Hannah Harris. Original music by Moxie and Loon.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.